Well, Merry Christmas to you all. It is such a wonderful season that we've all been waiting for. Advent makes the heart grow fonder, and of course, our season and our hearts now are full. And we should remember that we're just getting started. As I mentioned in my announcements, the world has started their Christmas celebration back on Thanksgiving, if we were lucky. October 31st, Halloween now has become kind of now the unofficial start to the Christmas season, which is just astonishing. But the fact of the matter is that we have 12 full days to celebrate how it is that God himself has come into our midst and taken our humanity upon him, our flesh, and all that it means to be human. God himself has taken that upon himself. If you're keeping count, it's 3 French hymns today, by the way. So if you're going to go out and buy those, I think that you have to give probably close to $100 for full-grown French hens, cold and frozen, ready to be thawed and eaten, probably more like $50 for 3 French hens. But I'll just leave that up to you, how your beloved would like her French hens delivered. But we say again and again in all of these different traditions, whether it be candles, whether it be vestments, whether it be special things to eat, that God becoming a human being is too big a thing to be crammed into one day. In fact, when you feel the tempo of the feast itself, my lovely daughter Charlotte said, "I'm always sad on Christmas afternoon because we've run out of things to do." Well, you know, the fact is that we do that to ourselves. So we can just as easily come back and give it a go, right? We can think of new ways to celebrate how it is that God has brought us ultimate joy. He has entered into our world, never to be severed from us. So think of new ways, of course, COVID-friendly ways, to keep the party going and the presents coming. And this sense of fullness is throughout our lessons appointed for this, the Sunday after Christmas Day. This sense of overflowing fullness is all our theme. Paul says that in the fullness of time. So we don't think about time as being capable of being full, but Paul says that when time had been filled out, that is, when it had come to the appointed moment, but still there's this sense of the overflowingness of time itself. And what happened when it was time? Well, Mary herself was full. She was ready to give birth when time had come to its fullness. And the result, or the goal, or the effect of Mary's fullness in the fullness of time was that the fullness of God's redemptive love was revealed to us. So we see how there's this threefoldness of our feast that Paul wants us to meditate upon here as we think through our lesson appointed from his letter to the Galatians, that all of human history, all of human life, all of being God's created and redeemed world now has come to its fullness in the birth of our Savior Jesus. Paul is speaking in terms that perhaps escape us at the first blush, but Paul is telling the story again of the Exodus. Remember that old story, how the Israelites had become slaves to Egypt, and they had been for 400 years waiting to be saved. And in that fullness of time, God sent Moses at the perfect time to bring them out of slavery, to redeem them. That language of redemption, we so often attribute to being saved, given a pass to go to heaven when we die. We hear this language of redemption and immediately assume that it has something to do with our eternal destinations. But the language of redemption is, on the face of it, language of the slave trade. To be redeemed is to be bought back from a life of slavery. When a person would go into the ancient slave markets and we go and say, I want that one, and throw money down and take that person who's in chains and had lost all hope, and then instead of enslaving them, the owner of the slave now would say, now go free. Go into a life of freedom and liberty. This is the essence of redemption. And Paul says that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his Son to redeem those who were enslaved. So Paul is wanting us to think about how it is that the Israelites were enslaved for 400 years, and in the fullness of time, God sent Moses to bring them out of that slavery, but not simply to set them free to their own designs, but to make them his own children. God sent Moses to take those who were lost under the powers of this world, and not simply to release them from oppression, but to adopt them as his own children. God made Israel his own children. And the sign and the seal of that adoption was that he gave them his law on Mount Sinai. We spoke at length this summer, Father Heaton and I spoke at length about the Ten Commandments and that how that they are the signs of God's blessing to his people. And we spent week by week focusing on each one in turn. But it's worth remembering that God giving his law was not somehow a new enslavement. He had just relieved them from slavery, had made them his children. And so this law now is a sign of his loving kindness to them, that they would know what he had asked them to do and what he had called them to be, that is a light to the nations. But here in our lesson from Galatians, Paul is saying, yes, that story, but look how this one is better. The whole world, not just Israel, but the whole world had been bound in slavery to sin and to death. But God didn't send Moses this time, but he sent that prophet that Moses had promised, that last great prophet, Jesus himself. He sent Jesus to come into the world not simply as man, but as God, to redeem, there's that word again, to buy back from the slave market, not just Israel, but the whole world, not with money, but with the blood of his own death. And the effect then is, again, to make us God's own children. So you see the language here. Now that you have received the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, you have the ability to cry out, oh my God, my Father. We find ourselves now in God's family, not simply released from the powers of this world to go stumbling into slavery again to our own passions, but we find now that we have been made God's own children because we have been adopted by his own Spirit. A new exodus, my friends. Christmas is about the exodus, coming out of what was dead, what was oppressive, what killed us moment by moment, now into the new life of Jesus' birth in us, in our humanity. So we hear this language again in our gospel lesson. All of this was done, Matthew said, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted means God with us. All of this had been foretold from the very beginning. As Adam and Eve fell in the garden, God did not give them up to destruction, but promised them at that very moment that the Son of the Woman will crush the serpent's head. And then again, through the mouth of the prophet Isaiah, speaking to the rebellious children of Israel, promised the king, Ahaz, that God would send a son that would relieve Israel of their oppression, but not only from their enemies, but to bring them back from the crushing weight of sin. But now we hear in Matthew's gospel how it is that this wasn't just simply about a new king in town, but no, that the whole world would be made free in this one God with us. A new way of being human, No longer the Jews only, but the Gentiles. The whole world would be brought into God's kingdom. This new heaven, this new earth, inaugurated in the life, the death, the resurrection and ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the result you see in the gospel as well as the epistle is that we now become God's very household. It is no longer the temple. It is no longer the tabernacle that wandered along with the Israelites through those 40 years in the wilderness. But now we, inhabited by God's own Spirit, have become the very temple of God. I hope that you got everything you asked for Christmas. I didn't ask for much, I didn't think, but apparently I had been leaving crumbs in the wilderness like Hansel and Gretel all week because my beautiful and generous wife had lots and lots of wonderful things waiting for me under the Christmas tree. But of course, as I tell everybody, you know, she's my favorite Christmas present, so there's that. But nonetheless, I hope that you got everything that you wished for Christmas. But I want to tell you today that you have got three more gifts waiting for you. At least so says Paul. See how it is that Paul says that Jesus himself has been given to us. And because of the fact that he has come in our flesh from the fullness of his mother, in the fullness of the time, in the fullness of his father's love, that we now have been made children of God. But not only have we received our Redeemer, but we have received God's Spirit himself, the Sanctifier. We now have become holy unto the Father. We have become God's children, and we have become the very temple of God. But not only have we received the Father, not only the Son and the Spirit, but now see how we have received the Father as well. All humanity was estranged because of our rebellion in the garden in our father Adam. We were strangers to the Father, but he has come near to us. We are no longer enemies, but his children. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, each one of them, gifts and givers, giving themselves to us out of their overwhelming grace. My friends, we have been blessed in this Christmas season. But not just in the Christmas season, but every day. Elvis was right. Why can't every day be like Christmas? But what Paul is telling us here is that it should be. That if Jesus has taken our flesh, we can't get rid of him. He's here with us because of the fact that he has become incarnate in our humanity. Every day must be like Christmas for the Christian. We must, therefore, care for our flesh because it is his own. It is not ours anymore. We have been bought with Christ. We are not our own. What does it mean to take care of your flesh? Well, evidently, as we spoke in our series on the Ten Commandments, caring for our flesh means that we should not sin in our flesh, but more particularly, as we spoke about the commandment, thou shalt not kill, that we must, you're obligated to honor the sanctity of all human life, including ourselves. Addiction, gluttony, all of these sins that we commit against our own flesh, they should be thrown away, rejected by all right believing Christians. We must care for our flesh because he has taken our flesh. But not only should we care for our flesh, but we must make Jesus' flesh known in our flesh as well. That our lives must radiate the truth, which is the incarnation, which is the truth of Christmas. We must make him known in our actions, not just in our words, but in giving word to our flesh. Jesus himself is the Prince of Peace. He is the King who has made all wars to cease. And so we too must, in our own ways, in our own moments, in our own lives, seek to do justice, opposing violence and war in our own lives, as the bishops of the church ask us to preach against the abomination of abortion on the Feast of the Holy Innocents, which is tomorrow. We should be reminded of the fact that God hates the killing of anyone, but especially children in the wombs of their own mothers. But we should oppose all kinds of violence as well. Every last life matters, and the church should be clear to speak that truly, that we should object to all manners of injustice, not just simply to one class or race of people. And we should object and oppose and reject the powers that attempt to take us slaves again, the gods of money, the gods of sex, the gods of war and of power. We reject them as well in our flesh, because Jesus, the Son of God, has taken upon him our flesh. But finally, my friends, and it is a joy to say so, because we are all here together, we not only hear the word, we not only hear of Jesus' flesh, but we receive his body in the sacrament of the altar. We are here not simply to hear the word proclaimed, but to receive the word, to eat the word. For as Jesus himself reminded his disciples, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. Merry Christmas. Amen.